Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio this morning. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are broadcasting live this morning in Lexington, Kentucky at our wonderful CBS Sports Radio affiliate here, Accumulus Westwood One station as well. Down here for the weekend for one of the Bourbon Bell, my wife's best friends from college here in Lexington at UK. So it's horse farm time for DA, and it might be glue factory time for Cam Newton. What was that last night on 4th and 1 from the 1.5 to get the first down and or win? We are discussing it this morning here on the DA show, and joining us, our good friend from the NFL on Fox, Charles Davis, CD. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, DA. How you doing? And have a great time in horse country, man. It is gorgeous there. Absolutely gorgeous. Obviously, watch where you step. But other than that, I mean, everything else is aces out there. I mean, the stories are legendary about it. My father-in-law actually played basketball for Hardin-Simmons at one point. And Lou Henson was the head coach at Hardin-Simmons at the time. So he was a young and up-and-coming coach, and they go to play Kentucky. Now, think about this is a time frame, DA, where it wasn't charter flights, as you might imagine, right?
Yeah.
So these kids from Abilene, Texas, I mean, they hop on, they get in the cars and in the vans, and they drive up to Lexington. And day of game, Coach Henson gathers them together and says, boy, Coach Ruff is just such a great man. What an incredible man. He's arranged an incredible tour of the horse farms for us today. Game day. And he had like 3 horse farms, and he walked those kids all over the place. Obviously, Adolph Rupp didn't give the tour. He had someone else do it. But those kids walked all over the place because Lou Henson wanted to be pleasing to the head coach of Kentucky, who was one of the Giants at the time. And they just wore them out that night.
Oh, my gosh. That is great. I can only imagine in 2019 a team taking a horse farm tour before they go over to Rupp Arena to get their butt kicked.
On game day. There'll be no shoot around today, guys. We're going to go to the Claiborne Stables and see where Secretariat used to run around out here.
When we look at last night's game, what does the fact that North Turner ran a direct snap to Christian McCaffrey and split Cam Newton out wide on 4th and 1, what does that tell you about where the Panthers are offensively with Cam?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know if they're trying to protect the shoulder by not having to be the short yardage goal line runner that he's been for his entire career when they weren't worried about protecting anything. Because you and I both know, D.A., he's the only quarterback that we've known. This is how unique he is. That you would pay him whatever the amount of money is, okay? And he's going to be one of the highest paid players because he's, you know, he's won an MVP and he's done all these great things. You pay that amount of money and not, from management on down, tell your coaching staff, can we not get our quarterback hit?
Yeah.
And he's going to be a central part of the run game. That's how unique he is. We're going to look back at one point, DA. Whatever we're going to say about Cam Newton's career, he's going to be the guy that we saw 20 years early, if that makes any sense at all. He's going to be our George Jetson, our agent, our Maxwell Smart, where, you know, shoe phones and, oh, well, that's your cell phone, right? You know, hovercraft, oh, well, we see some of that stuff. All those things that we saw when we were kids and stuff, boy, that is super futuristic. That's kind of what Cam is. because there's no one else built like him with the DNA, with the ability to run it, throw it, all those things. But I don't think he's 100% healthy. Heard my colleague Troy Aikman say in the beginning of the game, we've been told he's 100% healthy, the shoulder's fine. When you watch the game progress, I'd be interested to ask Troy today, do you really believe he's 100% healthy? Because there were a number of throws, the DA, they were short, right?
Yeah.
They weren't quite there.
Yeah.
You know, and how many times did Troy say, if he just puts the ball out ahead of him, he's still running. I don't think he's 100% healthy, but he's not going to admit it. And by the way, he's not going to take himself out of the lineup to try and get healthy. They're 0-2 now. He's going to try and be part of the solution. But I just wonder if that's what it was, because to go to a variation of Philly-Philly and show the counter to Philly-Philly as opposed to give it to the horse and let's ride, maybe there's something more there.
Charles Davis joins us from the NFL on Fox. What does that mean for Cam Newton's career going forward? Because we always knew he'd have to make an evolution from a running quarterback to not only a primarily passing quarterback, but almost an individually passing quarterback. But if he can't throw right now, what does that mean for Cam?
It means that everything changes for what they're going to try and do on offense. His best throws are still off of the run action. You know, you saw the RPO-type throws he made last night. Those were still probably the best throws he made of the evening. And the ones he hit Greg Olsen, who was wide open running down the seam, most of those were off of RPO or some type of a quick play action where he sticks the ball out there, pulls it back, and zoop, ball's out of his hand quick, right? 10, 15 yards in the air, bam, it's on the guy. If you're talking about doing the rest of it, what I saw last night would lead me to be concerned. They can say all they want, and I'm sure they will, and it's a smart move on Ron Rivera's part. He's fine, he's fine, he's fine. I'm like Rasheed Wallace after a foul was committed that he thought he should have gotten and didn't, and the guy'd go to the free throw line and missed the free throw. Remember Rasheed? The ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie. I thought last night some of those throws, I don't think he's 100%. I'd be shocked to find out he's absolutely 100%. So it changes where they go, and it changes how they run offense. And you know who really gets hurt by this in a lot of ways is probably Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Because now they really jam in on him.
Yeah.
See, that space that Cam creates with the run-pass options that he has and the ability that you've got to deal with him, if he's not right, well, then you clamp down harder on McCaffrey, and you're not as worried about the wideouts getting downfield on you.
Yep, Todd Bowles had the best defensive game plan possible, and that was totally lock in on Christian McCaffrey, give him no space, and it really worked and paid dividends last night. You've got Dallas in Washington this week, and the Cowboys looked really impressive last week against the New York Giants.
Yeah.
When the Cowboys come out of that huddle, and they now have an offensive line set under contract, a running back set under contract, and a quarterback, which we assume is going to be set and under contract soon, are they one of the best teams in the NFL?
Yes, they are. And now they have to continue to prove it. But this is where we're still at that time of year, DA, where roster counts. And they are one of the better ones. I mean, just look at what they have all the way through. Look at how they're able to evolve on offense, where, yes, Zeke is still the guy that you run things through. But even when he's not 100%, because that first game he wasn't, as we know, because he's just working his way back. The threat of him allows you to do other things if you have people to take advantage of it. And now they do. It's not just Amari Cooper out wide now. Gallup jumped into the fray, you know, his second-year receiver. Randall Cobb we knew would be a factor. It's not just getting Jason Witten back. He provides great leadership, great example. He's going to give you good, hard, tough, gritty play. And if you go to sleep on him, he's going to make plays that remind you why he's going to the Hall of Fame. But now Blake Jarwin, who many people didn't even think about, is becoming more of a factor. And the best part for him, he won't have to answer any questions post-game. DA, they'll all still go to Witten. So he's good. He just go play. You know, and all those things mashing together now. They like their backup runner in Pollard because he can run it and catch it. It all comes together, but the biggest thing is depth. And the best part, they played a game against a team that's struggling, a team that I think will get better, but they're not anywhere close to that yet, and had enough errors where the coaching staff could get after them, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that they're going to ask for better play this week. and they're going to need it because you're playing a Washington team whose pride is hurt, gave up a 20-7 lead. One of the all-time great runners who got benched as a healthy scratch who will get the ball from the first snap. And D.A., go back and look at his history. And I did a little quick dive on this thing about Adrian Peterson. He blew his knee out when he's playing Minnesota at Washington, of all places, right? The very next year was his 2,000-yard season.
Yeah.
Now think about that. Most time we say that's down the road, right? You got to get your knee right. Wolverine regenerated and put 2K up.
Yep.
He gets let go by New Orleans. He blows away Tampa Bay when he goes to Arizona in the first game, 134 yards. Last year in the opener when he signed with Washington, 96 yards, two passes caught for 70 yards. He's going to be an extremely ticked off individual come Sunday. It's going to be fun to watch the fury he runs the ball with early, and it'd be interesting to watch Dallas try and match his intensity with their defense. It's going to be fun.
AP's return from that ACL to what he did last year, not only the timeline was insane, but how he bounced back was insane. It was really one of the most inhuman efforts we've ever seen in NFL history, coming back and doing that. We've got Charles Davis joining us here on the DA show from the NFL on Fox. We talked about this decision of Jay Gruden benching Adrian Peterson, and from a roster flexibility standpoint, it seemed to make sense. But from an emotional standpoint of that locker room, it was clearly a division. There was clearly a problem. So do you think Gruden made the right decision to do it because numerically it made sense, logically it made sense, or emotionally it was a mistake because from an emotional standpoint it didn't make sense?
Yeah, and, you know, I've known Jay for a long time, and I wasn't around him obviously leading up to this, but I've known Jay since he was, you know, coming out of college and going into arena football and being terrific there, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is just one of those occasions where he thought the professionalism of the decision would carry through. That's just a guess. I will talk to him later today and see if I'm anywhere close. And maybe didn't bank on the emotional part of it. Remember, Adrian's only his second year there in Washington, right? So he's an entrenched veteran, but he's not the grandpappy of the locker room, if that makes any sense at all. He
sure
is because of who he is, but not in his time in D.C. But maybe, possibly, Jay thought, listen, the team will understand Geis is going to be our guy, and they'll get it because we're trying to win a football game. Well, everything that could have gone wrong did in terms of Geis wasn't impressive, only ran for 18 yards. They blew a 20-7 lead. Emotions are going to run higher in games like that because they think they're going to be pretty good, and the defense thought they'd be better, and they collapsed in the second half. And then, of course, you get hit with it. Boy, did you guys miss Adrian? Yeah, things come to the front pretty quickly then. They had a chance to get through it, DA, if they had won the game. Guys still wouldn't have been happy, but I don't think you would have had the same visceral reaction that we caught after the game. So I'm quite sure Jay and the staff have done some pretty good meetings this week, both individually and collectively with the team. And now the beauty of it is, sad for Darius Geis, is probably out up to, what they say, maybe 8 weeks with the meniscus.
Right.
The ball has to go to Adrian Peterson this week, and you can move forward that way. So it's not ideal in any stretch, but you've got another game coming. You've got the Cowboys, a division game, second one in a row. You've got to get right. I think Washington will play with a lot of emotion positively. I think Peterson will play, like I said, furiously. And let's see how this thing turns out.
Yeah, I think that's a smart read on Jay Gruden and how he tried to make that decision. It's a really interesting storyline moving forward because now he really needs Adrian Peterson and needs that locker room. Charles Davis, yeah. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. The NFL on Fox this week. He's got Dallas and Washington this week. Charles, it is always a pleasure, especially to swap horse farm stories with you. So you be well, my friend. Thank you so much and have a wonderful call this weekend. We'll be watching.
You do the same, DA, and you tell all those UK people hello. They're my SEC people, even though we're bitter rivals. And it used to be in the month of October, you didn't play a football game there until night, so everyone could go to the races during the day. TV changed that.
Yeah.
But that was the tradition, was that all Kentucky games in October at home were night games so that everybody could go to the races during the day.
Hey, that's a great little anecdote as well. You're the best. Thanks, Charles.
Take care, my man.
Okay, you too. Yeah, Keeneland here is just one of the most beautiful places to watch any type of competition or sporting event. It is their beautiful racetrack. It is historic. It is so clean and perfectly manicured. It is just, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And I go to Saratoga every single summer. And I love Saratoga because it has all of that old, built-in, soaked-in, baked-in history. You know, it's over 100 years old, and it just feels that way. But it also feels like the old troughs at Wrigley Field. It also feels like the place is just needs another fresh coat of paint. It's chipping a little bit, a little rusted a little bit. It's got that character. I went to Keeneland. I said, my God, this looks like an estate compared to Saratoga. This thing, everything is so perfectly manicured. It's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So when we come back here on the DA Show, we've got your best audio of the day as part of Soundcheck. And in it, Odell Beckham. You know, you can't just play football with Odell, right? You've got to also try to figure out a way to create a week-long storyline and controversy. So Odell has done this again, and Gronk has some scary thoughts about how many concussions he has suffered. That's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First of all, I want to pay you a compliment. I think you're the best thing in sports radio. You're so informative, and I get something out of your show every morning.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us at a fine Target Demo Friday. Let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at as you listen to the show. And we will read through those coming up here on the program in approximately an hour and 20 minutes from now. Toward the end of the show every Friday, we do a little Target Demo Friday to know where our listeners are listening and how you guys are listening. And so you can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, and then also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. And if you're looking for that meme or that post on our Facebook page on your timeline, just look for the NFL former MVP dressed in an old lady's babushka, because then you will know that's our Target Demo Friday meme. I have to say, I just can't with him in this headdress kerchief thing. I mean, and I want to say this. I actually, this might sound like it's coming out of left field. You might be surprised. I actually respect that Cam Newton challenges convention from a fashion standpoint. I mean, I get it. I can't pull that off. I'm a t-shirt and jeans or a button-down in jeans type of guy. I am not going to do anything all that crazy because I know I can't pull that off. I also, to be quite honest, I don't have the patience, nor do I have the want to carefully craft my wardrobe. It's just not in my DNA for whatever reason. I'd rather carefully craft other things like about this show or about other things in my life, but just not my wardrobe. So when it comes to me dressing, and this is probably something that you can easily glean from my outfits, it's usually whatever I think is the easiest way to look somewhat not slobbish. I try not to look like a slob. Like, I've got a personal rule, no sweatpants. I'm not doing that. If I'm lounging around the house watching a game, okay. In public, no. I'm not going to the grocery store in sweatpants, and I'm certainly not going to work in sweatpants. Mraz would like our uniform at CBS Sports Radio to be sweatpants. That's totally slobbish. Totally slobbish and slovenly.
Well, if you could dress like Mrs. Doubtfire or you could wear sweatpants, which would you rather me do? Wear the sweats, I assume.
So I am just saying that I respect somebody that puts that much attention to their wardrobe. It's clearly important. They have the time. They have the means. It's something that they feel makes them feel good. I get it. Like, when I wear a nice suit, if I do, let's say, a TV spot, and I'm like, okay, nice suit time. Or like Saturday, I'll be at this wedding here in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm going to wear my best suit. Okay, I get it. I feel good. I feel handsome. I feel good. I feel like, all right, I got something going on. So I understand when people want to dress really nice. I just simply do not have the patience for it. So in some ways, I really respect Cam Newton for, you know what? You've got the means. It makes you feel good. You've got the patience. Clearly, you've built the brand doing this. Fine. But I got to be honest. How can I take you seriously as a leader of not just men? I don't want to make this sexist. Just a leader. How can I take you seriously as a leader of people, especially in a physical collision sport where you are paid to athletically achieve, where you are paid to take on the collisions from other grown adults, where you are the face of a billion-dollar corporation, week in, week out, day in, day out? How can I take you seriously when you are wearing what my grandma used to wear to church? How could it happen? What Cam Newton wore last night is so utterly insane. It truly is. He is wearing, okay, first of all, whatever's going on with his hair, it's kind of cool. But I just don't know how that can't be a distraction under your helmet. You are pressing a helmet on top of that huge bird's nest of a hair. Okay, that's one thing. I think it actually looks cool, but you've got to press a helmet over top of that for 3 hours every single Sunday. Next, you're wearing these big, crazy Hanna-Barbera villain black-rimmed circular glasses, which, if you were a German scientist in 1931, I guess I would get it, but I don't know about that right now. And then you throw the babushka over top the whole thing, and it's like an iridescent multicolored babushka, and he is seriously answering questions about the health of his body in a collision sport. I just can't take that seriously. And as I said earlier, I actually respect Cam Newton's answers last night. I thought when he said, I've got to look in the mirror, I've got to be better, I give people harsh criticism, I've got to expect harsh criticism myself, I respect that. And yet I've got to hear that coming out of the mouth of a guy that is wearing a babushka. I can't possibly do it. And I'm serious about this take. You're going to think I'm joking. I'm not. That guy can't win a Super Bowl.
Come on.
He just can't. Not because I don't want him to. A guy wearing a Planters peanut guy top hat, or a guy wearing a monocle, or a guy wearing an old lady's babushka, that guy's not going to win a Super Bowl. It's just not going to happen. If you are actively trying to dress like Charlie Chaplin in his earliest movie, you are not going to win the Super Bowl. It's just not going to happen.
Well, what his motive is here? Do you think this is really a fashion thing? Like, do you think he thinks that's fashionable?
Yes.
Or is a company from whatever clothing line could possibly make these babushkas paying Cam Newton to wear this? And if so, who sees Cam Newton wear this and thinks it's not ridiculous and says, I need to look like this?
Well, okay, so here, there's a lot to deconstruct here when it comes to fashion. Fashion for Cam Newton and Odell Beckham and others is art. So they fashion themselves, they fancy themselves as artists. And so when they look at something they're putting on their body, they look at something like people are going to look at it like a painting. And so they're going to try new things. This is experimental art for them. Cam Newton knows that other people aren't going to start wearing babushkas en masse. Okay, this is not going
to end. I hope.
Okay, but he, the way he looks at it is, this might be an interesting accessory, like my Planters peanut hat or my monocle or my Charlie Chaplin hat or my Steamboat Willie hat. These are things that will look interesting on me as accessories. I don't expect other people to start wearing them, but I'm going to try to experiment because this is art and I'm an artist. But last night, how bizarre was it, Mraz, when he is like somber up at this podium? Clearly, every question is about the health of the franchise, his career. He is very seriously and despondently answering these questions, and he is wearing bug-eyed glasses. His hair is a million different ways going crazy like The Weeknd, and he's wearing an old lady's babushka. It is impossible not to laugh at him through his pain.
Seriously, well, and his biggest knock to this point in his career was that after the Super Bowl, he acted like an idiot to the media, but he was in whatever team gear there was, and that was fine. Now, you saw a moment last night where he's finally taking responsibility, taking ownership, brought up his health, and brought up how that's still no excuse for anything. You got the most candid answers from Cam Newton last night. All anybody could look at was the fact that, as Gio from Boomer and Gio put it, he looked like what you see in a moth if you ever look at it in the eyes. Like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing that? And where did you even buy that?
Yeah, Gio said that he looked like he was looking at a moth's face up close. I'm sorry, I can't ever envision that guy at a Super Bowl winning podium. I can't envision it.
How does the rest of the offense look at him in a locker room postgame and go, that's our leader, that's the one?
I don't know. And, you know, I mean, Tom Brady has worn some really crazy, dopey hairstyles and outfits, and clearly he also has taken fashion to that next level, and he has won Super Bowls. But I have to say, I don't think he has ever tried to get away something like this. I mean, could you imagine if Tom Brady, after last year's Super Bowl, was wearing black-rimmed bug-eye glasses, his hair all over the place, and a babushka? Could you imagine if Tom Brady had a babushka around his head at the post-game podium?
That would be the end of his career. That would be it. There's no coming back from that if you're Tom Brady. Also, how do you top now? Because Cam Newton's wore some ridiculous things. It's going to get worse, you would think, because he keeps topping one after another. How does it get topped from what we saw last night?
And here is, I believe, a really important question. Should Cam Newton have a winning postgame outfit and a losing postgame outfit? If he wins last night's game, maybe he can wear the babushka. When you lose the game, don't you have to go to just a standard team-issued apparel or a suit?
You have to, and I know this sounds silly and people are going to think I'm half-kidding, but I'm also serious. When they lose like that and the main question is about Cam Newton and, frankly, whether he'll ever be the same again, you cannot, before addressing the media about this, take the time to wrap the babushka, tie it perfectly. I'm sure he didn't get it right on the first shot. Make sure the hair is perfectly frilled and spiked out from underneath the babushka. Make sure the glasses fit right. Like, to go through that long a process of doing it is almost as long as it would take you to study some of the defenses you're going to see. It's just a bad look. You cannot do up your whole self like that and then come out and address the media. You have to, at that point, I want to see, you know, mud on your shirt, everything like that, and you dress it that way and seem like a real hero. But to take the time to go through all that, only to stand up there and take responsibility. How about take responsibility for what you're wearing?
It's amazing because you're right. It's got to be like tying a tie. For us, it takes you like 5 different tries to tie a tie, and that's a minimum. Sometimes it takes me like 10, 15, 20 times. He's probably wrapping and rewrapping and tying the babushka 10 or 15 times to get it just right. And to have his hair kind of perfectly sprouting out from this like broccoli stalks, and then have those crazy eyeglasses, and then on top of this babushka, he's got an unbuttoned button-down shirt and a suit on this. I mean, the whole thing was so wild. And he is like despondently discussing his career and looking in the mirror. And I'm like, how can I think about you being self-reflective of your career when you are wearing this crazy outfit?
Now, here we are on September 13th. This has to be a Halloween costume this year, doesn't
it? Oh, it has to be.
Cam Newton babushka has to be a costume this year.
It absolutely has to be. That last night was at a totally different level because also his suit is multiple different patterns, and it's the babushka, and it's the glasses, and it's the hair, and he's sad. And he's sad through the whole, and he's sad through the whole thing. It's just too perfect. Let's get to your best audio of the day, boys and girls. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Gronk has been openly talking about the injuries that he suffered during his career, the dark place that he was in when he had to retire or after the Super Bowl. And Gronk admitted to CBS News that he's probably had more than a dozen concussions in his life. Here is Gronk.
I will let my son play football, but first off, I will educate him on the game. You know, educate him on like what I went through. And I truly believe that anything, you know, any injury that you receive is fixable, though. I mean, I went through it. I had 9 surgeries. Probably had like 20 concussions in my life. Like, no lie. Probably like, I remember like 5 like blackout ones. Like,
but you
I don't
said
remember.
You had a pint of blood drained from your body after the Super Bowl because of internal bleeding.
Yes, because of internal bleeding. But like I said, I'm fixed.
I think it's going to be really disingenuous for Gronk if he ever decides to come back for football. It's going to feel really disingenuous. And I'm not one to tell anybody what to do with their body. If Gronk wants to play football and he wants to come back or is leaving the door open to come back and he thinks that he might one day want to come back and play with the Patriots, that's totally up to him. I'm not going to judge that. But Gronk can't continuously talk about all of the awful injuries that he took, all of the brain trauma that he took. Make it serious. He's not joking about this. He's talking about 5 blackout concussions, 20 potential concussions, being in a depressed state, unable to walk, unable to sleep more than 20 minutes a night after the Super Bowl. He can't then come back. Because what? How serious was it? I mean, you don't need the money. You don't need the championships. You're a Hall of Fame tight end with your resume anyway. You're just going to come back for the quote-unquote competition. Well, then why talk so darkly about concussions and head trauma and brain injuries and the injuries and the CBD and not being able to sleep and all of that? It doesn't jive. It doesn't add up. So the more Gronk talks about the injuries, I respect that. I appreciate somebody who went through it, educating others about how dangerous it can be and his life and his experiences, but don't come back after kind of selling the story continuously about how hurt you were and how dark it was. Here's Adam Gase, head coach of the Jets. He announces that his starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, has mono, and we're trying to figure out why. But Gase, in doing so, can't even bring himself to name Sam Darnold by name.
14 has mono and will be out for this game. So Trevor will be starting. And Luke Falk will get elevated at some point and be the backup. So that would be that.
99, ankle sprain. 82, right arm contusion. 14, mono. 14, tired. He's listed as questionable. 14, pretty exhausted. He's got that kissing disease. Probably didn't need to be kissing whoever he did. Not going to play on Sunday. Monday night. Any questions? 14, mono. I mean, how does Adam Gase keep getting jobs? How? He's just socially not right. Your starting quarterback is out because of mononucleosis, and the way you announce it is 14, mono, like it's a roll call. Is Jimmy Peterson here? Jimmy Peterson, present, okay. Number 14, mono, present, yep. Mono kids got... He's in attendance today. He made it to school. That's good. And now, I mean, this Jets season already rocky after the way that they lost week number one. Who knows when Mono Kid's going to come back? Who knows who else he's going to give it to? Who knows if he's going to be hitting the ground running when he comes back? Is it going to take weeks for him to get back into it? They're already 0-1, and their schedule is a nightmare. 14, mono. Mono kid, are you here? Whew, just a disaster. And finally, there's never a dull moment surrounding Odell Beckham as he discusses that Greg Williams, as a member of the Browns, ordered a dirty hit on him in the preseason 2 years ago when Odell was with the Giants. And Odell and the Browns are going to be facing Greg Williams this week.
Like in preseason, like nobody in the NFL is really out to do stuff like that. And, you know, I had players on this team telling me that that's what he was telling them to do. Take me out of the game, and it's preseason. So you just know who he is. Just the man. That's the man. Call him the players.
Okay, so let's dissect this here, Mraz. Odell Beckham 2 years ago takes a hit from the Browns. At that time, did you think it was a dirty hit?
Yes, and I actually distinctly remember the next morning you killing me for thinking it was a dirty hit.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure that that is possible.
Yeah, I got called a homer, but I absolutely said that. I got killed by a lot of people because everybody's like, no, it's, you know, they're playing hard, it's a second stringer. But I thought from the get-go there was no reason to go that low like that in a preseason. It made no sense.
Okay, number two, do we believe that Greg Williams would tell his guys to take a shot at an opponent? My answer is absolutely, positively yes.
That's the least surprising news ever. Yes, absolutely Greg Williams would do that. The NFL knows he would do that.
The NFL has basically suspended him for doing that type of stuff with Bountygate.
Right.
So, yes, Greg Williams has this terrible reputation of doing things like this. Is this the week to bring this up, considering he is going to be playing Greg Williams' defense to the Jets this week?
Yeah, and I think that's his way of having the refs look out for any hit that could be thrown his way because he's trying to gain an edge and gain penalties or anything like that. But to me, a bigger question is, doesn't the NFL have to investigate this now?
Well, how are you going to investigate it? By trying to interview the players on that roster?
Yeah, I think you have to interview the players. And what's the deal here? Did this really happen? Because you already have a bad first-time offender in Greg Williams. And if they all tell you to a man, yeah, Greg Williams told us to do that, you got to ban this guy. That's dangerous. For player safety, you can't have Greg Williams telling people to do that.
He's also, I'm guessing, a zero tolerance because
right.
of Bountygate.
That's what I'm saying. If this is any other coordinator, I think maybe the NFL looks the other way. I think the NFL has to investigate this.
Maybe. But should Odell once again be drawing attention to other type of stuff?
I mean,
he's already been doing this all week long anyway, and he's doing the watch thing. Is this just more nonsense from Odell? Should he have just kept this private?
Right, because if he really cared, he could call the league office on his own privately and say, hey, this is what I was told. Can you look into this? Not have to make a big public grandstanding about it. Because, again, it's look at me, look at Odell. Sam Darnold is mono. I better make sure that people are looking at me instead.
I will say, though, that I absolutely believe that Greg Williams would do this even in the preseason. And it's dirty, but that's the type of guy Greg Williams is. He is wired in a totally different way. Now, at that time, it was a young defensive back coming in low at the leg of Odell when Odell was leaping for a pass in that preseason game. He got up. He was kind of frustrated, but he ended up being all right. But it would not shock me at all if this was a Greg Williams you go do this directive from the Browns a couple of years ago. When we come back, last night, can Bruce Arians turn Jameis into a winner?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.